precious salve opens up talking about the carbon ola. We have Tzavis Arum V'Aspanov Lemor Zos Torasa Ola. So right away the Chasam Sofer points out that here it's a little bit strange that we have, ironically, Aaron is actually mentioned. In most of Sefer Vayikra, we always find B'nai Aaron, generally speaking. So why here is Aaron mentioned? So the Chasam Sofer explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu valued Aaron's Torah so much that he wanted his sons to do the Avodah and let him learn all day. So he says that here, there's a Chiddush that he had to be mentioned. And he actually quotes fascinating Mashal, very timely Mashal. He says, just like the Gemara Megillah says, by Mordechai, that he was involved in Atzalas Nefashos at the expense of his own Talmud Torah, because Hashem apparently didn't value his Torah as much as the Torah of other people, so he made Mordechai in charge of Atzalas and the fashions of saving cholesterol, and everybody else can go sit and learn. That's how he sizes that up. He also says that the reason why the parsha opens up by talking about the Trumas Hadeshen is to warn us about having anava, which is again why the Torah also emphasizes Arun to show us of anava. There's a famous Rashi in the beginning of the parsha that says Tzav means Zrizus Miyadu Ladorus. It actually says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands you to do something, so when he says Tzav, it means right now, be Zariz about it, but it's also a Tzivui for future generations. So what exactly does that mean? So there's a number of Pshatim. So Chasam Sofer says what that means is that the notion of overturning Chid, of doing Tshuva, is something which should be Miyadu Ladorus. You should always have that. The Kli Yakar talks about how the Zeruz is supposed to be in terms of the Ola itself, because the Ola is Mechaper for Hirhurei Chid, so it should always be something that you're Zariz about, that you're Zariz in doing it. He also quotes that maybe it means that Kohan should be Zaras in teaching Torah for free, because we know Kohanim are the paradigmatic teachers of Klal Yisrael, right? Kistif se kohen yesh merudas v'tori v'akshu mipiyu. So maybe it's referring to that. Rabbeinu Bachai talks about how in the beginning of the parsha, when he quotes from Mishlei, this idea about gathering friends, that a person should have a core group of friends. But he says in order for a person to be a people person, he needs to have a certain measure of shiftless, because if you're too much of a bald guy, no one's going to like you. So he says you have to have this kind of measure where people are, you know, people like to be around you. You have to have a certain measure of shiftless for that. And he compares it to honey. He says, just like he says, a person who is an usher, he has the problem of guy. A person who's an honey has the problem that he's always giving it to other people, whatever they want. So he says, just like honey, you don't want too much honey. You want it in small quantities. So he says the same idea there also. You want to find this kind of balance. Then he talks about how the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as Beis Re'echa. So he says, why is it called Beis Re'echa? So he says, when you have a friend, you're into their house all the time. It's nice to go over there once in a while. So he says that it's the same idea. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you in the Mikdash all the time, because that means you're bringing chatos and hashamos, and you do all sorts of aviros all the time. Hashem doesn't want that. Hashem wants you to come once in a while. If you did a chi, okay, so come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring a carbon for what you did. But you shouldn't be there every single day. You shouldn't bring a carbon to Hashem for a chi every single day. Also, the Kli Yakar talks about how the Ola is something which is unique in that it's not eaten by neither the Kohanim nor the Bailim. It's as we said before, it's Mechaper for Hirhurei Chi. The Lashon the Kli Yakar uses is that it's Ola al Haruach. It's something which is Ola al Haruach, and it's also Kula Khalil. The whole thing is burned up, which again signifies the fact that it's not coming to be Mechaper for a specific Maisa Avera, but rather for Hirhurei Chi. Also, it's also brought at night, as the Pasuk says, right? It's brought Kol Halayla Ad HaBoker. It's brought Dafka at nighttime, which is the time of Hirurim, generally speaking. So he says that's why it was timed specifically to be brought during the nighttime. The Or HaChaim quotes five possible pshatim about what Rashi meant when he said Tzivudoros. He rejects those five and gives another four of his own. So he says maybe the pshat is that the zeros you have to have is because you're doing it at night, and therefore you need an extra measure of zeros at nighttime. Maybe it refers to the fact of not only when Rashi says the zeros that you need is because of chesron kiss, because there's monetary laws involved, but also because there's ribui tsar, there's extra pain, it's an extra hassle to be involved in the avoda. Also, the technicality that when I'm bringing a carbon at night, that means that I'm not working at night. So I'm in that respect. Also, we mentioned before there's no hana involved with the ola; the whole thing is burned up. The kohen theoretically could have partook of another carbon instead of the ola. So those are all possible pshatim. The Or HaChaim quotes, he says they're dochak, and then he quotes some other pshatim of his own where he says maybe the fact that you have to lay out money to bring an extra third of wood to light the maracha, that's what costs money, or because you can't bring any carbonos before the tamid shel shachar, so you have to wait around in the mikdash for a couple of hours until they bring the tamid shel shachar, and you're going to be losing out. Or he says because if they ever lay siege to Yerushalayim, it's going to be difficult to go procure animals to go bring for carbonos. And then finally he quotes the Gemara in Zvachim that if you're not makbet to bring an ola, which is really kosher, you're going to have to take it off and then bring another carbon after that onto the mizbeach. So those are all possible pshatim about the idea of chesron kiss that's mentioned by Rashi. The Chasam Sofer says that Torah only affords protection if it's ritsuya, if you're not a bal gaiva about it. So then he says then it has the same status as a carbon. Then it's ritsuya like a carbon, but if you have gaiva, so then your Torah is basically worthless. And he says that the Torah, the Kli Yakar points out the Torah that weakens you is like an ola. That's what we say. So some people say on a fast day after Shemona Esrei, they say right the tefillah about and the chilev and the dam that I lost from fasting should be like a carbon. So he says that the Torah that you learn, it weakens you in that respect, that it should also act like a carbon. carbon. Then the Kliyakar quotes an interesting shot where he says that when the pasuk says call halayla ad aboker, so he says now when we're in the period of Laila, of Galus, you have to resort to learning Parshas Ola to be Makayim, the din of bringing the carbon, because you don't have the actual carbon. But once the Boker Shel Yisrael comes, once Moshe Mashiach comes, once then, we're gonna have the actual carbonus to bring. The Kliyakar quotes from the Mahariya two different Peshatim about how to understand the different phrases in the beginning of the Parsha. So first we have Kol HaLaila. So Kol HaLaila, the Mahari says, maybe refers to Tfilas Mariv. Then you have Baboker, Baboker, that refers to Shachris. And then you have Ish Tamid Lo Sichbe, and Vizos Torah HaMincha, which refers to Mincha. So that's one Peshat that seems to be the more standard shot, but then Mari quotes another shot that all three are really referring to Mincha, and it's a machlokes about, we generally assume that if you miss a tefillah, you have one tefillah to be mashlim. Mari quotes a machlokes, apparently by Mincha, there's shitas that hold you have two tefillahs to be mashlim for Mincha, because he says Shachris is a chova, so the Torah uses a lashon of a lav by Shachris. So that's the issue of lav. By Mariv, it's only a rishus, so at least according to some Tanaim, it's only a rishus, so therefore the Torah uses only a lashon of asay. Mincha is something which is, the reason why the Torah uses a lashon by Mincha, Mincha is a harder tefillah to daven. It's in the middle of the day. The Gemara talks about in brachos that Eliyahu was only answered b'shas tefillas Mincha, and the Kliyot in Chayisara has a shot where he focuses on this also. And he talks about how Yitzchak was masakin tefillas Mincha. He went out to, right. It says that he was lasuach basoda lifnos erev, and then it says vayisoyna vayar v'hinei gemalim ba'im. He realizes that Rivka is coming. So the Kliyot says lachora Yitzchak was davening for shidduch, and then the second he finishes davening, his shidduch's right there. Right? His wife is right there. So he says that you see the Gemara in Brachos, that's the raya that when you dive into tefillas mincha, you're not a miyad. You can answer right away. That's the raya that he proves from there. The Or Haim has this fascinating discussion about the Gullus and the Geula that we're in right now. He talks about how the Gullus HaAcharon, the year that he was writing this in, he says it's been 1,672 years since the beginning of that Gullus, and he says it's way more severe than any Gullus we've ever experienced, both in quantity and also in severity in terms of the inui of the Gullus that we're experiencing. And he talks about a lot of the phrases in the beginning of the Parsha of, as mentioned already before, right? Himokta al hamizbech kol halayla ad aboker are all really hidden allusions to the Gullus and the Geula that were waiting for it. He talks about also how there's some sort of unclarity. You know, people always talk about how in the 6,000th year Mashiach's going to come. So he actually talks about this, about how there is in the last half of the Elef Hashishi. So it's not necessarily going to be the 6,000th year. It sounds like maybe halfway, 6,501 years, whatever it is. But he talks about how theoretically there could be a Geula if we were, if we were Shlemim and we were following Ratzon Hashem, the Geula really could have come in the halfway through the Elef Hachamishi, which would have passed already theoretically. So he says that the Geula to a degree depends on us, but it also at a certain point by the midway through the Elef Hashishi, however you calculate that, that's when the Geula is supposed to happen. Then the Or Haim also quotes that whenever a Jew is killed, a Kiddush Hashem by a non-Jew, so Kadosh Baruch Hu would wear their blood as like a levush, and he would wear that until the day of vengeance against the Umos HaOlam. He also points out that there was a measure of Achdus. That's what the pasuk of Umichnas Evad Yilbash Al Bisaro, right? The word bad represents achdus, and he says that you wear that on you because the Jewish people refused to acknowledge the existence of any other god. They refused to acknowledge, to be meshat, even to be meshatef shem Hashem with anyone else. So he says because of that, because they had such a level of achdus, right? So that's why they were moser nefesh. He says also because mikhnas evad you al bisaro, it was like a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through those tzaddikim who had that direct connection, who implanted emuna in the hearts of every single Jew. That's what led them to have this very high standard of emuna. Even though they were killed sometimes, the Orachem quotes a machlokas, which this is a recurring machlokas back from Parshas Lech Lecha already from the Brisbane Abbasarim about how to understand why the Mitzrayim were punished. V'halo Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, right? He gave a nevuah to Avram that they were going to afflict Klal Yisrael. So we have a machlokas Rambam and the Ramban. There are famous machlokas whether it had to be the Mitzrayim or whether they afflicted them too much. So here also there's machlokas the Rambam and the Ravid. The Orachem quotes the Rambam says the punishment was goof of the fact that they afflicted Klal Yisrael. So that was the problem. The Ravid says the problem was that they afflicted us too much. That was the issue. Not stam they afflicted us. The Kliyakar on the pasuk of Velavasha Kohen Midovah, when the Pesukim are talking, describing the different, the Michnasayim the Kohen wars, so he quotes that the Motzi Zer Levatala is a violation of Gili Arayos, which is more obvious, but also of Shvichas Dam. That's that the Kliyakar pointed this out in Parshat Yisro when he talked about the contrast between the Aseret HaDibros of Yisro and Veschanan, where in one place it says Lo Sirtzach Lo Senaf without a vav, and then that's by in Yisro, Mavaschan, it says lo sirtzach lo senaf. What's the vilos? The Gemara Nida points out that when a person's Moses Zer Levatala, it's ki'ilu he was shofech damim. So it's connecting those two things, those two Yisroim together. Also, the Kliyakar points out that Ish is the onesh for gasas haruach, where a person gets burned by the fire, and he says that the kapara is trumas adeshin, anochi ofer ve'ifer, that's the kapara for the gasas haruach. And then what's the result of that? Ve'hirimas adeshin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you have shiflus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lift you up. And we know the Gemara says that a person who called him gaev, a person has gaiva, it's ki'ilu bal kol arayis. It's in the beginning of Sotah. So again, that represents the michnasayim that are mentioned here in the beginning of the parsha, or also because the trumas adeshin is inherently, intrinsically, it's an avoda which is very degrading. It's, you know, scooping up ashes off the mizbeach. That's why you need extra chizuk to say you have to do this avoda now like this. Also, Rabbeinu Bachai points out that a person always has to look honorable and presentable in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he has a fascinating idea. He says that what's the issue with the person being a bal gaiva? We've spoken about a lot already. Like, what, like me being a bal gaiva is a terrible thing. What's so terrible being a bal gaiva? I mean, you're not necessarily hurting anyone. I mean, you could be hurting people, but you're not necessarily hurting anyone. But if you walk around and you start around like you're the greatest thing in the world, so why is that? What's the problem? He says that it's a bizui to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, we describe Hashem as Hashem Allah Geos Lavesh. It's Hashem's place to have gaiva, to have geus, however you want to describe it. It's for you to take that. It's key, like you're taking a Kadosh Baruch Hu's beged, you're taking a Kadosh Baruch Hu's mantle and putting it on yourself. That's the issue with gaiva. The Rabbeinu Bachai says that's it. It's like a bizui to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then Rabbeinu Bachai also quotes that the nefesh returns back to its source from where it came from, bischus, the Torah that you learn, and the nefesh is elevated above all the celestial spheres, above all the malachim. And he says that the sun is what causes ish to move, and the moon is what causes the water to move. And he quotes the pasuk in Koheles. Pasuk in Koheles says, so he says ha'ola hi lamala. He says that the pasuk, it's almost like parallel to the pasuk we have over here. He ha'ola al mokeda al hamizbeach kol laila ad boker. He says that al mokeda means that it's like above the sun. It's above the spheres. It's above all the celestial spheres. And he says that the nefesh is elevated when we engage in Torah. That's the nefesh becomes elevated. Kli Yakar just quotes pasuk says ufasharas begadav v'lavash begadim achirim, because when a person with his own clothing would engage in something which is, you know, an action which would get his clothing dirty, like scooping up the ashes, you would also change your clothes. So you have to change your clothes. You're also for the as part of the avoda. The Kli Yakar contrasts the carbon mincha, where the pasuk says that the mincha has to be eaten next to the mizbeach, as opposed to matzos. The matzos have to be eaten dafka bimakom kadosh, in the area of the hichal, to show you, because the matzos are free of seor and represents that there's no yitzhar hara there, because the seor, the yitzhar, is machal kedushas haadam. But in contrast, though, we know the carbonos of the shtei halechem on shavu is they dafka need to have chametz. You need to have lechem as part of that carbon. What's the reason for that? Because you do need to have a yitzhar in order to build up the world. You need to have, right, the Torah is a tavel for the yitzhar, but you need to have the yitzhar in the first place also, in order for the world to build up. The minchas chote, you know, the carbon that a chote brings doesn't have any seor because he overcame his yitzhar. But the baseline is that you need to have a yitzhar to begin with in order to build up the world. And then the Kli Yakar in here in Tzav, but he really echoes ideas that he talks about at the end of Parshas Bo, the notion of the significance of matzah. He says, number one, matzah is shiflus, it's hachna, right? You subjugate yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it represents the fact that it says, number one, we know that chametz, the din is a chametz b'sreifa, the way we paskin. Why is chametz b'sreifa? Because kolam is ga'en nidum b'sreifa. If you're a bal gaiva, you're gonna get sreifa, you're gonna get burned in Gehenna. And he says, also the din is a chametz is even asher b'mashu. Why is it asher b'mashu? Because Mishnah Avos says that ma'od ma'od havish faruach, to be exceedingly humble, and the Gemara in Sota says, regarding gaiva, a little bit mino, a little bit miktsas, I don't want anything to do with it. You have to completely eradicate gaiva. So in that respect, matzah is the complete antithesis of gaiva. So you have to abolish it completely. Rabbeinu Chai has a little bit of a strange shot here. He talks about why it is that they're only dinim of, you know, of tuma only applied to male kohanim, not to female kohanim. He says because since the women brought death into the world from chava, so therefore they're not nizheres on tuma. So you probably could have said fakir, but I'm saying, I guess, yeah, it's a little bit interesting smara. The Chassid Sofer has an interesting as a cute shot on the pasuk says bimkom asher tishachir ha'ola tishachir ha'chatas, in a place where you're ola, where you become a bal gaiva, you're gonna have to bring a carbon chatas. You're gonna have to be tishachir chatas as a result. Then it's like a classic word, but the Kli Yakar echoes the idea when he talks about the different methods or models of being matar kelim. You know, the contrast, you have a kli nechoshes versus a kli cheres. So then by kli cheres, so the only way to matar kli cheres is by smashing it right into a million pieces, to do shvira, as opposed to kli nechoshes. The pasuk says morak v'shutaf b'mayim, you can do marika ushiva, just rinse it out. So what's the difference? So he says there are different types of chotim. Some people, the chet, it's mamish muvla. It's like the blios are stuck inside; they can't get out unless you smash them and start all over again. Certain people, the chait's there, but it's not muvla mitocho the same way. Rabbi Nochai has an interesting ha'ara, just a pialacha. He says that when the pasuk says uchlicheres asher tevushabo yishaver, so Torah doesn't say tishaver, it says yishaver. What's the difference? Tishaver would have implied just smash into a million pieces. Yishaver means that I don't have to smash it to a million pieces. I just have to make sure that it's not functional as a kli the way it used to be. Meaning I have to make sure it loses its tafkid of a kli, the previous status, but it could still be a functional kli in a different respect, and that would be okay. And he says the same thing is true by the current Pesach. The etzem losish beruvo, right? So it means even a shvira kala. The answer is not to snatch the bones into a million pieces. It means even to scrape the bones off a little bit is going to be a problem as well. The Kli Yakar points out that in the beginning of this parsha we used the Zos Torah five times, so representing Chamisha Chumshei Torah. But he says each of the Sifrei Chamisha Chumshei Torah are connected to different carbon. So Bereishis is connected to the Ola. We find Hevel, Noach, Avram, Yaakov. Many people brought carbonos. Shemos is connected to carbon Mincha because Kol Aminachos Bos Matzah. One of the Mishpachim in Minachos, and that's the that's of course the by Pesach. Vayikra is Chatos because it's a response to the Egel. Bamidbar is Ashem because Parshas Naso delineates the halachos of Ashem Gezeilos and other types of Ashemos. And Devarim is the Shlamim because it's delineated in Parshas and Parshas Kisavo, the dinim of Shlamim. Chazzofer has a cute shot on Vahabasar Asher Yigabachol Tamei Lo Yeachel Ba'ishi Sarif Vahabasar Kol Tahor Yuchal Basar. So he says if your guf touches Kol Tamei, it comes into contact with anything which is done like Gehenim, so your entire neshama is affected by that as well. Ben Mechai is, I don't think he meant what I'm about to say, but he quotes it as an example, but I think the idea is probably true anyway. He talks about the pasuk says La Kohena Makrivo Salosi. Yeah, the Torah says you have to divide up equally the Schar HaKrava between the various Kohanim who are involved in offering up the carbon. He gives a mushal, just like Rashi and Lech Lecha quotes is by Aner Eshkol and Mamre, just like the people who go out to fight in war get the same schar as the people who are sitting watching the Kalim. So that's all he said. So I said it could be that, you know, the mushal was Dafka. It wasn't just Stam mushal about, you know, that this idea that carbonos are Megan Misarin, protect us from our enemies. That's what Tosus Megillah quotes. Tosus Megillah quotes, and it comes up in the sixth paragraph of Sanhedrin also, the story about Yehoshua and the Malach, right? When the Malach comes to him and he says, you know, you're Mevatel Torah and Karmat Tamid, and he says, Halanu Ata Imlit Sarenu, which literally means, are you for us or against us? And to which the Malach says, right, Ata Basi, right? He says, I'm coming for the hate that you did right now for lack of Tamid Torah. So Tosus there quotes, and Megillah quotes from the Rivan, says, what was the Malach's Kasha? I'm sorry, what was Yehoshua's Kasha? Halanu Ata Imlit Sarenu? Are you coming because of Bittel Torah, about which it says, Torah Tziva Lanu? Or are you coming about Karbanos, which are Megan Sarinu, halanu atayim with sarinu. So that's the idea of carbonos also. They protect us from our enemies. The Or HaChaim has an interesting idea where he talks about how if a person hasn't gone to the mikveh yet, let's say a person was tamei for 7 days and the 7 days are over, they haven't gone to the mikveh yet, so they're not tamei to the same degree, obviously, but they still have a level of tuma on you know, tuma michutz. There's like a chitzonius type of tuma, whereas during those actual 7 days, there's still a more panemius type of tuma that has to be gotten rid of. The Or HaChaim has a kash. The pasuk says ki kol ochel chilev. The Gemara learns out in chulin that ki kol ochel chilev is the makar that chilev chulin is also us. Because if you read the psukim, it just sounds like chilev kachim is us. But then the Torah says beferish no, that this is a din ledoros, a chilev aser. So the question is, we already have a pasuk that says v'chilev nevelav, v'chilev treifa yasel lachom alacha v'achol lo sochlu. Torah already tells us that you're not allowed to eat chilev. So what's the Torah adding here? So he says it could be that Torah is being marviach that you're chayv karis, meaning a hamin would have been I'm only chayv karis for eating chilev kachim. But in other words, in a chanami chilev sam chilev is aser. Who says you're chayv karis? Kamash Molan, the pasuk that you're even chayv karis for regular chilev. Then the Or HaChaim also points out that according to the Rambam, it could be that the issur of being makriv an animal which is a treifa on the mizbeach may only be an issur derabanan based on the pasuk from Malachi, the famous pasuk that the Gemara quotes in other contexts by mitzvah baba avir of hakrivehu na lefecha secha hayirtzecha o hayisaf anecha. If you offer up this kind of a carbon that Hashem doesn't want, right? That Hashem is so negezel ba'ola, right? Do you think a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants your stolen animals? Whenever he says maybe it's only an issur derabanan, whereas the notion of repeating a veil, like we said before, is teaching me that you're chayav karis for eating that. Rabbeinu Bachai talks about the pasuk is v'chol dam lo sochlu b'chol mosh lo sechem. You can't eat dam of any sort of animal. So he quotes from the Rif. The Rif says that the dam beats him to eat the blood of an egg is only an isur derabanan in an egg yolk. He says, but if it's in an egg white, then it's also deras. You have to throw it out. But Tosfos says that if the blood spot is found in between the part that connects the egg yolk to the egg white, so he says then it's asur midarabanan. So everyone agrees that egg yolk, the blood spot on the egg yolk is asur because there's a chashad. Says Rabbi Mechai, that's where the life of the chicken was formed. It was on that area, and he says if you eat that, you're in violation of the pasuk of Sharetz Asheretz Al Aretz, because that had the potential of becoming, turning into a baby chicken. Rabbeinu Chai has a fascinating shot about The Torah says, there's a din, you have to weave the chaz of a shok of the animal. So why dafka the chaz of a shok of all the parts of the body? So he says, because the chaz of a shok cause movement in animals and in people. The heart, right, the chaz, right, in other words, it causes you to move, whether it's, you know, respiratorily or whether it's because it causes your, you know, the rest of your body to have certain motions. And obviously the shok literally causes, you know, that's where your legs are, also literally causes you to move. It says you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that you have the ability to function and to move. So that's why we have the chaz of Ashok. Rabbeinu Machai talks about the famous Gemara in Menachos and other places about how a person is osik and parshas HaKarbanos, it's ki'ilu they were makar of a karban. So he says, it's not just straightforward. It's not just like, oh, I read karbanos in the morning and I'm yotzei the din of ki'ilu hikrav ola. You have to understand what you're saying. You have to understand, it's more than just reading the psukim. You have to understand what's going on. And he says, l'mashal, the Gemara in Bracho says that if a person says ti'ilu adavit every day, or maybe three times a day, different years in the Gemara, so then he says, then he's muftach lo shub in olam haba. He says, what kind of joke is that? If I just say ashri and that's it, I'm good to go. So obviously it means you understand what ashri represents. You understand the idea of yichud Hashem. You understand what it is that you're saying in Ashrei, and he says that's why Chazal were masakin to say Ezehu Mekomen in the morning for that same reason, to get you to focus on what the karbanos represent. Or Chaim's whole interesting shout out Kabbalah about what the purpose of being Osek in Torah is. So the idea of being Osek in Torah is to bring out the nitzotos of Kiddush that were lost. And we know that Alpi Kabbalah, in times of Adam Arishon, when Adam ate from the Itzadas, so all these klipos and nitzotos of the nitzotos, they fell and they became into klipos. They shattered, the nitzotos shattered, and the goal in Kabbalah, the goal of man is to bring out the klipos, to bring it back those nitzotos to the way they used to be, to the original point of nitzotos of Kiddusha. So he says that when the nitzotos came down to this world, so he says that the whole goal was to rectify that. So when you learn Torah, he says you elevate those nitzotos that have fallen down. And he says that about a lot of different things. He says that he quotes the pasuk of Osa Torah La Olal Lamincha Lachatas V'Lasham, right, V'Lashlamim Ulezevach Hashlamim, right, V'Lamiluim Ulezevach Hashlamim. Each of those words is a reference to a different notion in Kabbalah that the Torah is coming to speak to. The Torah, in each of those cases, the Torah is rectifying something that was broken from the times of Adam and is fixing that. Then Rabbeinu Machai has a very interesting pshat. Little bit strange. The footnote on the bottom tries to work out what exactly he means here. But he talks about, you know, the classic idea about how Kodesh Baruch Hu is not interested so much in our karbanos as much as he is in us listening to him, which is the part we read from last week's Haftorah from Zachor, right, that, you know, Hinei Shemoa Mizevach Tov, right, that Kodesh Baruch Hu would rather you listen to him than you to bring karbanos and violate halacha. So he says that the main point of a karban is really to listen to Hashem. So Rabbeinu Chai quotes the pasuk from the Haftorah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh from the end of Yeshaya. Pasuk says, Shochir Hashor Makeish Zoveach Haseh Orif Kelev Ma'alem Incha Dam Chazir. So 3/6 really different examples. And Rabbeinu Bechai quotes that the reason why the Torah picks, or why the Navi picks on those examples specifically, he talks about Orif Kelev. He says is because the Kelev and the Chazir have one thing in common. I mean, they're both treif, obviously, but he says they're unique in that they both have one simon of Tahara. They're both Ma'alei Gera. Right, I'm sorry. They're both my first part. So they both chew their cud to different degrees. The dog chews his cud a little bit. The pig chews his cud more. It's shosa shesa. So, and he says therefore they're listed because they look like tzaddikim. Famous Rashi quotes by the Chazir that Esau was a chayr semena chazir miyar. Looked like a big tzaddik because he showed off his split hose, but in reality he was treif. Now the big pell about this Rebbe Nachai is that lechor is not true, because in Parsha Shmi, next week's Parsha, the Torah lists the animals that only have one simon of tahara, and the only animal that's listed explicitly that has one simon of tahara, namely split hose and not chewing their cud, is the pig. And the Torah doesn't mention the dog anywhere. So lechor is a huge pella. So it could be, so in the footnote, they try to work out where the dog came from. It could be the dog is somehow included in the chazir, or it could be that the dog is like a subset of chazir. It's not so clear exactly what he meant by that, but the point of the mashal is definitely true. Chasam Sofer has a beautiful idea which he echoes in other places also. The pasuk says, V'eskol ha'idah ha'kel ha'pesach o'amwe. Rashi says this was a huge miracle that all Klal Yisrael could fit into the Heichal. That's what happened on Yom Kippur every year. So he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to gather into a small space to show us this idea of being mistapik b'mua. The idea that, you know, Klal Yisrael can live with less, which is an idea that Rabbeinu Bechaya talks about all the time. And he says that's the famous idea of Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos is a very strange drusha from Rav Avira, where the pasuk says, right, we have din of v'achal v'sevat v'irach. So he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ikra din is that you have to bench on Kidei Sevia. But we're so machmir, right, that we only bench Ad Kizayas Ad Kibetz, even though it's not Kidei Sevia. So it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with us. So all the Farshim ask, what do you mean Hashem is happy with us? That's against Halacha. You're only supposed to bench Kidei Sevia, so it's a bracha levatala, on a bracha del Raisa, no less, to bench for less than that. Chazur says, no, the whole idea is that it represents the fact that we this is our Kidei Sevia, because we're Mestapik Memua. This becomes the new Kidei Sevia when you eat Ad Kizayas Ad Kibetz. Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar talks about how there are varying levels of Nevuah versus Ruach HaKodesh, or the famous contrast between Nevuas Moshe versus the Nevuah of other Nevi'im, right? We have, for example, Moshe could be fully functional, and Moshe understood what was going on. The Nevi'im were in a sort of a state of a seizure, as opposed to Ruach HaKodesh, where you're still functioning, you're just seeing things that have that are divinely influenced. And he says that's the why the din is that you could put a Navi on top of Ksuvim, but not a Navi on top of Torah, because there's different levels of Kedusha as well. And this really fascinating idea is Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar has these two ideas here, where he talks about that Moshe put the blood, he sprinkled the blood on the tenuch, ozen, right, on the different parts of Aaron's right earlobe and on his big toe and on the hand, right? We find this in Parshas Metzora again also with the Kohen. He says why dako those parts of the body? He says that existence, the world basically breaks down to three major parts. You have the Olam HaMalachim, the Olam HaGalgalim with the celestial spheres, and you have our world, the Olam HaShafel. So he says, and the Mishkan is also kind of incorporates these three ideas also, you know, in the Kodesh Kodashim and the Heichal and then the Azara, they represent those ideas as well. So he says, we have the head represents the Olam HaDibor, the ear is on the head, so therefore you put the first sprinkling was on the ear. Then we have the middle part of the body, which is the Olam HaChius, which is where our life source comes from. So he says that's where you put it onto the thumb, which is the middle of the body, and then on the foot, that's the bottom, where that's the Olam HaShafal, and he says that's where, you know, those are the three parts of existence that were represented by what Moshe did to Aaron. And then, you know, the beginning of Ksuvus, it's a famous drush, and we're talking about how each of the five fingers correspond to a different tafkin, and Hashem created them for a specific purpose. So he says you see from that idea, and again, there's the questions about what exactly they represent, but he says you see from that idea that each of those fingers, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created every single limb for a purpose and nothing is levatala, shows you that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and so each of the fingers correspond to one of the five senses, right? So he says that each of those ideas show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a specific tafkid in this world for when he created things. Also, this is a fascinating idea. Chasam Sofer quotes, there's a very strange Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Gemara has three shilas in a row that seem to have nothing to do with each other. The Gemara has a shila, number one, can you be misana l'shos? Let's say a person took a neder to fast, and they decided, I'm going to fast, and then they broke their fast halfway, or they decided to fast in the middle of the day. So would they be yotzi? That's one shila. The second shila is, what's the din regarding kankanin shel nachrim? If you have a flask or like a pitcher from a guy, is there going to be a chashad of yayin nesech for such a thing? And the third shila was the chaluk, was the white garb that Moshe Rabbeinu wore when he did Avodah during the Miluim, did it have a hem on it or not? Those are the three shilas in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. So what do they do with anything? So Chasam says they're all connected. He says the first shila was, is fasting l'shos, is that called a kapara? Specifically referring to the chet ha'igel. Is that considered to be a lasting chet? Or is that only it was only l'shos, but we were able to overcome the chet. He says, and on the other hand, we have this, the Gemara is a drush, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, nirdi nasan richo. He says that we're filled up with this smell that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. So the Gemara asks, azav richo mi boil. When we sin by the eagle, should have said that all of the smell, all the benefit that we had to Hashem went away. So he says, you see from here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loved us, and that's what the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Heviyani yo beis hayayin v'deglo alay ahava, bring me into the beis hayayin. So he says, you could either say that yayin is not mefik tam, it doesn't, the smell, the taste of the wine is still there, or even if the yayin, he says, even if the taste of the wine remains in the kli, but the Gemara says, beferish in Avodah Zarah, after 12 months, the taste goes away. So that was the Shabbat Kankan and Shal Nachrim. If you assume that we still find favor in Hashem's eyes, and he still wants to bring us into the beis hayayin, so what's the din by Kankan and Shal Nachrim? And then we have, right, Moshe's chaluk, right, is the kicker. Did it have a hem or not? What does that represent? So the Chasover says, because if the chaluk had a hem, so then it represents the fact that it could easily tear, right? So what does that mean? That means that Moshe was only a kohen for, you know, temporarily for those 7 days for the miluim. But if you hold that it didn't have a hem, so that's shot with the pasuk in Tehillim, Moshe va'aharon b'chohanav. What do you mean Moshe b'chohanav? Moshe wasn't a kohen, because he says that, yeah, Moshe theoretically could have been a kohen ledoros. And once he served by the miluim, he had to then theoretically being able to be a kohen ledoros. And finally, the Or Chaim says, when Hashem says to Moshe, so he says that there's a din that Melech Shemachal Kvodo in Kvodo Machal. We know that Moshe had the status of a Melech, because it says in Zos Abracha Vayhi Bishur Melech. So the question is, how on earth could Moshe wash the hands and the feet of the Kohanim? Echonami was a Levi, but he was a Melech. How could he do that? So he says, oh, the only heter was the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him beferish to do it. Otherwise, in Echonami, it would have been usher. It would have been a violation of Melech Shemachal Kvodo in Kvodo Machal. Or he says, you see, this is the Bakar Ledorus that Levim are supposed to wash Kohanim's hands. You see from here, specifically on Yom Kippur, we see in general also. Pasuk says, Ki Shivas Yomim. So that's the idea. Rabbi Nebuchai quotes as Miluim represents the idea of Shlemus. The Chasam Sofer says that you sit outside of Olam Haba in order to do tshuva. That's what Pasuk says, right? It says, U'pesach ha'amoy teshu yomim v'layla. You sit outside the Pesach ha'amoy. And then last thing, Rabbi Nebuchai says that why Shivas Yamim? He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before the Mabul, sat Shiva for the world, and before another Nevi'im were killed, he also sat Shiva for them. And he says that you should also, the Kohen has to sit for Shivas Yamim. He has to have that same representation to either be Misabel for the world or to Mechaper for them, the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Yes.